We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. We in here on this Monday. Welcome into the Monday, September 16th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barley.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live
from the worst slums of Sacramento.
We are pleased that you are here with us, no matter what slum of Sacramento you are tuning in from. We appreciate you for being with us. 98.5 FM HD2, 1320 AM, Twitch, YouTube, whatever it may be. You can hit us up all day on the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Big shout out to Elk Grove Kia, 916-909-1320. You want to get in on this? I'm sure a lot of people got a lot to say. An exhilarating victory for the Las Vegas Raiders in Baltimore.
Yeah, that was a real good look.
Man, this is why you don't. Man, that's a tough look for the Ravens, too. We'll talk about it. There's a lot to talk about there. And just a day full of miscues and mistakes for the San Francisco 49ers in Minnesota as they drop week number two to the surprisingly now 2-0 Vikings. 23-17.
That's a tough loss, man. That's a tough loss yesterday in Minnesota. They didn't play a clean game at all when you talk about the San Francisco 49ers, but there was opportunities.
A lot of numbers there.
Yeah.
Big numbers from Jordan. We'll talk about that. Big numbers from Deebo. We'll talk about that. And good numbers. They were really good numbers from Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. It's just some things didn't go their way.
To me, the game came down to a few plays, you know. Mm. And one of the plays was the 97-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson. That was a big time.
That's the difference between a receiver and a great receiver, what he did on that play, and we'll talk about it for sure.
So that play, not converting, not getting any points on that fourth and goal, I think, at the 2-yard line. That was tough. I mean, it looked like they had a relatively decent play call there, but the linebacker or the defensive lineman for the Vikings tipped the ball, you know, made a play. Yeah. The punt situation and then Brock Purdy's interception in the third quarter, that was just tough. And then to be honest with you, gotta tip your hat, which is what I'll do a lot today for Minnesota. Sam Darnold played well.
He did.
Sam Darnold on that drive, that game-clinching drive late in the fourth quarter, converted three third downs on that drive. And, you know, he made some good throws, the play call was good, but he made a couple of good throws. And the Vikings went out there and won that game, man.
I want to say something, though, before you go too far away from Sam Darnold, because this is going to tie into some things that are happening this morning. Mm. There are more good quarterbacks that are ruined by bad organizations in this league than I think a lot of people are willing to admit. Mm-hmm. And given what we saw with Bryce Young, I don't know if Bryce Young is a good quarterback or not. I honestly, God, don't. Right. What I do know is Carolina is a terrible football organization, like god-awful, bordering on bottom of the barrel. Mm. And I think people need to keep that in mind when you look at Sam Darnold. I don't think what Sam Darnold is doing right now is particularly stunning. Like he's especially when you look back at the way he played at USC. Mm-hmm. He really has just been bad with the Jets. Yeah. Like that's where he was bad. Yeah. And line him up.
And he wasn't good somewhere else either. What a coinkydink.
Where I was trying to remember the second
Carolina.
Team you went to. Carolina, that's right. Who else went to Carolina? Off the top of your head, didn't Baker go there?
Baker was in Carolina.
How'd it go?
Not very good.
How'd it go with Baker in L.A.?
Fine.
Yeah, how's it going with Baker now?
Really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Yeah.
Point is, don't be too surprised with what you're seeing with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and I know, you know, we rolled our eyes last year when some of the reports were coming out about Sam Darnold and during the training camp, and, you know, he looks the best and all this other stuff. And, you know, there might have been some things going on with the way that was reported.
We rolled our eyes because he wasn't competing for the starting quarterback spot.
Yeah.
And it was disingenuous to ignite that conversation the way many did.
And even today, like, I don't think he's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy. But Sam Darnold, a good quarterback. Sam Darnold, a good quarterback, man. Or he's got talent. Like, we haven't seen him enough be successful to say
he's looks
good
like
on
he
the
has
NFL.
The tools to be a really good quarterback.
Yeah, and he seems like he's gotten with a good coach who understands his strengths and weaknesses. And
very good, yep.
And he looked good yesterday. He made some throws yesterday to win that game.
Yep.
And you got to tip your hat and salute him for that.
And he absolutely did that. Like, he did some things after the 49ers scored to win the game, not to manage it, not to run out the clock. Like, he put them in a position to win that game. He put the Vikings in a position to win that game. And that's probably the thing I was most surprised about. There were a couple of moments that you talk about, key plays, key moments. There were a couple of moments that I thought were key going the other way. And it started with Fred Warner.
I thought, to your point, I'm with you. Yo, that is a game changer.
I asked you.
I should say which one.
Exactly. I was going to say, I ask you to forgive me because the other one was a Fred Warner play too.
Yeah.
Was it Aaron Jones, the goal line fumble.
That was crazy.
Was like, okay, Justin Jefferson had gone out and you had the chance to you had a chance to bruise them severely right there. And the fact that the game didn't shift the way that I thought was, one, a tribute to the Vikings, that defense, Brian Flores, right? And
that's right.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Fred Warner, those two plays that he made, I remember when he got the pick, I said, you know, if they win this game, that was going to be the play of the game. That was going to be, because at the time it was 10-0. They were pushing to go up 17-0. Sam Darnold saw something, and I saw what he saw. It was there. Maybe the pass was a little off, or he should have waited a little longer or whatever to let the guy clear out of the line of Fred Warner. But it was about to be 17-0. And he made Fred. That's one where, yeah, maybe Sam Darnold could have done something a little different or read it or let him go through the zone. But Fred Warner made a fantastic play on that pick. That was an unbelievable play on that pick. And I just watched that and I said, that's going to be the play of the game if the Niners can come back and win this. And I thought about, you know, if I was a Vikings fan, I was like, oh, man, we had him. We had him, and now we let him get back into the game. It didn't end up being that way, but Fred Warner and then the knockout on the goal line. I mean,
that was incredible.
This guy is special. This guy is special. Waxed poetically about him last week, and rightfully so. But I think after seeing what he's done in these first two games, as good as I think he is, as top flight as I think he is, I think we may be on the precipice of seeing the best season he's ever had. He seems like he's ready to play on another level this year.
I'm with it. He's closing in on numbers that only Patrick Willis has in a 49ers uniform. Like, that's how good he is. And while Nick Bosa may regularly be acknowledged as the best defensive player on the San Francisco 49ers, our sentiment has been, I think, for a few years now, that Fred Warner is the most important.
Yeah, that's my, as a fan, as an observer, that's my security blanket. As long as you, I'm not trying to say like talent don't matter and top end, but a lot of people can go out. I'll be like, ah, that sucks. But it's 54 there, right? All right, we're cool. I'll rock with that. If all those guys are there and 54 is not,
stuff,
I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I don't feel good. So he's my security blanket in that respect.
It'd be fascinating to talk to someone like Baldy and ask him, like, from a film perspective, like, what do you see in terms of offenses game planning for Nick Bosa? And what do you see in terms of offensive game planning for Fred Warner? And, you know, I learned a long time ago, I think Bosa had his first two sacks yesterday. And sometimes we'll look and, you know, a player will go two, three games without a start. Obviously, Fred's having a phenomenal impact statistically already. But the reason you don't see it is because of what the offense is doing. The offense is directing all of their attention on him. Right. And just for argument, it's allowing someone else to thrive a little bit. You know, we talked about Armstead a few years ago and how the focus on Bosa really opened up Armstead for a career year. It's not a knock on Armstead. That's a great ball player. But when you have someone the likes of Nick Bosa that people are game planning for, it opens things up for other people. Yeah. You can't allow the field to be opened up for Fred Warner.
Right.
He'll make you pay for it in 10 different ways.
Every time.
Unfortunately,
it wasn't enough yesterday.
But it wasn't enough. Yeah. It was the week prior, but it wasn't enough. But there's a lot of other things. You know, there are just some things that didn't go right for the 49ers. They were terrible on third down. We'll talk about that. Their offensive line, as much as we just sang their praises on Tuesday morning, following what they did against the Jets on Monday night, it was pretty much the exact opposite. It might be a little drastic to say the exact opposite, but it was certainly different yesterday against Minnesota. That's a credit to the Vikings. That's a credit to Brian Flores. But these are Hall of Famers, a Hall of Famer, the Hall of Famer on this line, and he's got to get those guys in order. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the ups and downs in Minnesota, and, man, what a game it was in Baltimore. A stunning victory for the Las Vegas Raiders, and don't look now, boy, but there is a chance for them to go up 2-1 or for them to get to a 2-1 record coming out of this weekend. So we'll talk about it. We're thrilled that you're here with us. There's a lot to dive into with what we've seen in week two so far. 916-909-1320 on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN for ESPN 1320. Excuse me. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN 1320 to book your free nutritionist consultation or to use the free macro calculator. I use that. I haven't been big into counting macros before, but I put in my height, my weight, my age, and it gave me a breakdown based on my goals of what I should be eating each day. So I was able to spend a lot of time yesterday planning out my meals for the next handful of days to make sure I'm capitalizing on the advice from trainwithmap.fit/ESPN 1320 and maximizing what I'm doing in the gym every morning. So
stuff.
Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN 1320. The link to maptrition.com for all of the supplements, the protein powders, the fat burners, the cravings crushers, all of that. It's right there on that website. This is a one-stop website for everybody who wants to get in better shape or just get in better health. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN 1320. We'll get into the Raiders' amazing fourth quarter comeback.
Big time win, man. Big time win for Raider Nation.
Out in Baltimore coming up here this hour for sure. But we've opened up with a place that the San Francisco 49ers just can't seem to win at. Eight straight losses in Minnesota. The Vikings led wire to wire for the fourth straight time. That's according to Kyle Madsen. And they, I don't know what it is.
I have no idea. They still have not won in Minnesota since 1992.
Crazy.
That's fans. Terrible teams, championship teams, or like NFC championship teams, Super Bowl appearance teams, like any kind of team that you can think of that the Niners could have in that span, they've brought to Minnesota and they've all lost. Craziest thing. I did this off the top of my head, so maybe somebody can fact check and tell me if I'm wrong. I believe the next longest drought for an NFC opponent, like not being able to beat them on the road, I believe is the Atlanta Falcons, and that was 2013.
Wow.
That's the next longest drought of any NFC team on the road that the, you know, for the Niners to be able to get a win there. And that's crazy.
It's an 11-year difference.
That's cool. No, we talking.
You said 13 to.
Yeah, we talking 20.
Oh, it's 92, not 2002. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That is insane. So for whatever reason, they can't go into Minnesota and get a dub. But
Mall of America, boy, just gets him every time. Hey, but, look, that's where Lex Luger walked out right there. Look at this is where Hulk Hogan's Burgers was.
You ever been to the Mall of America?
I haven't. I think the only thing I've been to in Minnesota is the airport. It's a terrific airport, but I don't think I've actually been.
I think I went to the Mall of America. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I did. And it wasn't. Yeah, I did. I did go to the Mall of America. And it was cool. It was cool. It was cool, but.
It was a mall.
Yeah.
I mean. A really big one.
Yeah, it was huge. They had the roller coaster inside the mall. That was kind of trippy to see.
Well, I'm not getting on that, so that's fine.
But yeah, I think I've been there one time.
Going to get on a roller coaster operated by the guy who operates the slushy machine. That's a hard pass for me, bro.
That's how I be feeling about the state fair. Yeah,
that's why I don't go to the state. Hey, it's 102.5 night. Cool. Kenny will be there. Cause
well, I'll go to the fair. I'm not riding the zipper.
Bro, what are you doing?
You're not riding the zipper?
That's the name of the ride. Come on.
I think that was just a warning. I think that was just a warning right there.
Fair rides, they put them up and take them down on the same day, bro.
That's what I'm saying, man. Nah, I'm cool, man. I'm cool. It's okay. I don't like riding those rides at Great America, let alone the fair. But well, I'll go to the fair.
Well, whatever it is, Minnesota is beating the ass of the San Francisco 49ers. So.
Man, they got them. And yesterday was I give a lot of credit to Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell, the real Kevin O'Connell. Mm-hmm. My boy Flores, mm-hmm. and the game plan that he had, Brian Flores, mm-hmm. on the defensive end, Sam Darnold, obviously Justin Jefferson. They played a good game yesterday. And this is the one thing that that I don't care too much for, and we just got to deal with it and go. Mm-hmm. Like the over-the-top nature of when the 49ers or anybody loses a game Monday morning and for the rest of the week. Like, I don't think there's much wrong with the 49ers right now. Are you always striving to get better? For sure. Like, you look at that game, they didn't play a clean game. Offensive line didn't play a clean game. Brock Purdy didn't play a clean game. The defense, you know, had a couple plays they wish they could get back.
Yeah, one of them is on our TV right now. Yeah. You know what's really standing out to me watching this for like the 40th time, because I've always focused on Justin Jefferson on this play and just how brilliant the split, you know, the decision to cut back on his route was after he caught the ball, was how clean that pocket was for Sam Darnold to make that throw.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Justin Jefferson on that play. That's a 50-yard in the air play. And Sam Darnold had all day, his offensive line gave him that space. He was under absolutely zero pressure to get that throw off.
Right. Right. It was a beautifully thrown ball. You know, it was perfect. He dropped it in the basket. So, but you know, yesterday is an indictment on the coaching staff. Yesterday's not an indictment on the quarterback or the offensive line or the defense and all this other stuff. They lost the game, man. They lost the game. And the issues that they have, or people are saying they have, may be real issues, but that's not something.
Like what from week one to week two became an issue?
Well, now Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, you got to question, you know, Brock Purdy a little bit. Kyle Shanahan,
Brock Purdy
once again,
for 300 yards. Brock Purdy had a quarterback rating in the 100s yesterday. I think Brock Purdy hit some sort of marker where he's like the fifth quarterback to hit 15 games of 100-plus quarterback rating in his first 25 or something like that. Man. And it's up there with, like, I mean, Dak is up there. I know Dak is up there, but I'll have to pull the rest of the names because I know I saw this yesterday.
But in that, now you know, he can't go win a game. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, man.
When need be, and you know, if
the, Patrick Mahomes, Kurt Warner, Carson Palmer, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo, and Brock Purdy.
That's a pretty good.
That's
group
NFL
to be
history,
in.
By the way. Who have done this? Good. What are we doing?
It's a pretty good group to be in. Kyle Shanahan got out-coached yesterday. by O'Connell and Brian Flores and all this other stuff. And it's just the hyperbole, man, that we speak in.
Do you think they look past Minnesota a bit here?
No.
I think Minnesota played well and they won.
I don't think the 49ers are looking past anybody. I do think the 49ers recognize they have a job to do week after week after week. And they can't, you know, without Christian McCaffrey, they know, you know, we have to bank wins, because when you go into a game where, okay, McCaffrey's out, the rest of our all pros are there, the rest of our top, we've got to go in there and get this game. It's something that you take very seriously. I think one thing fans do in media, and it's just part of the culture of 20 hours a week content, 24/7 content, Twitter, all of that stuff, is you react to everything, whether it's reacting in a negative fashion to the San Francisco 49ers, or it's reacting in an overly positive fashion to the Minnesota Vikings or the Raiders or the Ravens, or it's such a short week that you react. It's such a short season that you react week to week. And I think the 49ers, I don't think football teams actually do that. Oh, they look past them. Does it happen? Absolutely. Players will acknowledge, we look past them. We were already looking at film for LA, Kansas City, whatever. And I just don't think it happens as often as people want to believe. Like, what were they looking to? The Rams? Okay, hang on. Because Jesse said, well, boy, those preseason predictions are aging poorly. Yeah, all but one. I'll go Barry Horowitz.
There you go. I asked.
And it's all right there. We'll talk about it out of respect for you and your week three opponent. I'm not going to go too in on what we saw yesterday, but I've got questions. But the point is, Jesse, I don't think that happens as often as fans want to believe that it
does. I mean, because
Brian Flores is a really good coach. Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach. Their team took a expectation turn when their first round draft pick got hurt.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just going into it. I don't see, like, because the Niners were outplayed for the entire game for keeping it a buck up until that Fred Warner thing, Ford Warner punch out or whatever. Like, I don't, especially with Minnesota losing their top two receivers, like Justin Jefferson during the game, I just don't see how Minnesota beat them like that.
Well, they
were sluggish the whole game. Like, just never got into a flow.
Yeah.
They didn't play their best ball at all.
Yeah, and those things happen. Like, those things happen. You're not going to play top-flight football every time. You're not. Like, it's not realistic. David Jay in the Matthews Master Strategy House, Kyle definitely got out-coached, but it's just one game. They were not as prepared as they should have been. How the hell do you know if they were prepared or not? Like, they...
And how many David Jays are in the chat?
Not gonna lie, that's been kind of throwing me off, because we got another David J. I'm not sure if that's the same one or
no. It's not.
It's
the
not,
same one.
I don't know if it changes its like profile picture.
No, David J. is not. No, the other David J. is not gonna have a picture of spaghetti.
But the other David J. has gone. The other David J. has gone missing since this David J. showed up, though.
I don't think that's our David J. Or the other David J.
Spaghetti is crazy.
I just don't think he would.
Why do you have?
And then we got David Jackson.
We got David Jackson.
Yeah, we know that's not you, David Jackson. It's just.
Now I'm with Michigan Wolverines. Spaghetti is the profile. It's crazy.
Hey, David J. likes spaghetti. What do you want to do?
That is crazy, man. But, I mean, how the hell you, David J., me, anybody know if they weren't prepared? Like, how do you know that? We have no idea. It's a crazy thing to say. But people will just flippantly say things like that. And
it's just cliche. I mean, people recite intangible cliches because you can't prove it. You don't need to back that up. If you say, you know, the offensive line, you know, wasn't very good. Okay, what do you mean? Back that up. You better have the statistical numbers that show they gave up six sacks, how many pressures they gave, like the, what was the one last week? Trent Williams
was 33
and didn't give up a pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the number yesterday.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you got to have that. Oh, they were just out-coached. All right, pal. Okay. Whatever you say.
Okay. And this is the thing. Like, me personally, like a lot of people, I forgot who it was. it was somebody in the, I think it was TCG, who was just like, yeah, I don't know why Kyle came out passing the ball all the time instead of running. The run was working or whatever the case may be. Hmm. And I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I'm watching the game. And I'm like, they're going to start running the ball a little bit. Felt like the first five plays were pass plays and stuff like that. But I also realized, like, look, man, Kyle Shanahan know what he's doing. Like, at what point do we not question a guy that's had that much success about his thought process and his approach to play calling? Like, I guess for some people, he has to win a Super Bowl for you not to question what he's doing with play calling. Like, it don't matter. He's been successful his entire career. And I'm not saying he's above reproach or second guess. Like, maybe he looks back to the, man, I wish instead of five pass plays, maybe four pass plays and one of them I could have run. Maybe he does that. Nobody's above reproach or whatever the case may be. But I'm going to assume that he saw something in the game plan. He saw something in the defense that said this will be our best opportunity to move the ball forward. Even if we want to run, if that's what we want to do, we've got to soften up the linebackers and the defensive line a little bit to get some lanes to run a little bit more. I'll assume that. But like I said, just I don't know. It's the nature of the beast, man. Just a hyperbole after one loss. I don't know. It's crazy to me. It's wild.
Yeah, it's not just the nature of sports, it's the nature of expectations. Mm. This team is expected to be great. It's expected to look like a Super Bowl contender, and in that week that they don't look like a Super Bowl contender, maybe not even a Super Bowl contender, maybe a Super Bowl champion is what this team is expected to look like. And the week that they don't, you bring up the questions. I'd rather bring up the questions at 1-1 than bring up the questions as 0-2, as we're going to do in about 10 minutes when we get to what happened in Baltimore. And that was particularly stinging for the Ravens for reasons we'll explain to you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But people talk about Brock Purdy. I mean, Debo had 100-plus yards. Jordan Mason, again, 20 carries. Great. 20 man, carries, 100-plus right yards. You talk about running the ball. The Vikings, frustratingly, got up, 10-0. Mm-hmm. I don't think that set anyone into a panic or anything, but it certainly looked like Jordan Mason was going to touch the ball 20-plus times. Mm-hmm. As that game was going, again, he was magnificent. 5 yards per carry for the second straight game, at least 5 yards per carry for the second straight game. They just couldn't make the final plays on the defensive side of the ball they needed to secure themselves at least an opportunity to win the football game.
And that was one of the big keys for me, is getting off the field on third down. They just weren't able to do it. I think I have the numbers in front of me, but I want to be accurate with it. At one point, yeah, they ended up losing one of those battles. But at one point, Minnesota was 7 for 11 on third down.
Brutal.
That's tough. They ended up 7 to 12.
And what were the 49ers?
2 of 10 on third down.
And that's just, not even counting, was it 1 for 3?
1 for 3 on fourth down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Niners didn't execute. They didn't play well. Or they didn't play top-tier football, because I don't think they played poorly all throughout. Like, I disagree a little bit with Jesse. Like, I don't think they got outplayed for the majority of the game. They were moving the ball. They were able to do things. The execution, when it mattered, though, that favored Minnesota. They executed at a high level every time they needed to. And to me, that was the difference of the game. Like, not turning the ball over, or the timely turnovers, because Minnesota turned it over too, but the timely turnovers for the 49ers, whether it's the block punt, turnover on downs, that fourth and goal. I'll say this, I did disagree with Kyle right there. I would have kicked the field goal in that situation. He saw something that made him go for it. And the play call wasn't
He said he liked the situation. He said he liked the play call that they had tucked away for him, and he thought that they would be able to.
And the play call was the right one. Like, I if you look back at the replay, Jennings is there. Mm-hmm. Brock is about to hit him. This is a good play by the defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Get a hand on it. And
well, what do you always say?
They get paid, too.
Yeah, those are professionals.
Yeah, they get paid, too. And they made some plays, man, for when they needed to. So I give a lot more credit to the way Minnesota played than necessarily looking for fault on the 49ers. And there's room to improve for sure. But I thought Minnesota played a real good game yesterday.
Yeah, I'm with you. And sometimes that's where the credit belongs. It belongs with the opponent. The killer, is my timeline right on this? I think I took some notes on this, but I don't have them pulled up. The 49ers muffed the punt. Got it back.
Ball
and did he throw an interception?
Ball don't lie.
Did he throw an? He threw an interception on the next play.
Ball don't lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
And then at the was the in my head, and this might not be how it went. It was muff punt interception touchdown.
Yeah.
That's how.
Well, I think there was a play in between the muff and the interception. On second down.
Okay.
But right after the muff.
Either way, it was quick.
The interception, next play was a touchdown.
Yeah.
For Sam Darnold.
Brutal.
And when you think about the Vikings and the scoring, this is what I mean by it comes down to a couple of plays, right? Like, the Vikings didn't really move the ball like that, but they got a block punt that set them up for a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
They got the 97-yard play to Justin Jefferson, and then they got set up in the red zone around the 10-yard line after an interception. And that's where, like, when people were critical of the defense, I thought the defense played well enough to win yesterday. When you talk about the 49ers defense as a whole, watching the game, I thought they played well enough to win. They just had a couple plays here and there. And then that final drive, I thought Minnesota did a really good job of continuing to convert on third down. But, yeah, sometimes it comes down to just a couple plays here and there, man. Because I do believe if they would have been able to get off the field in that final drive or the drive before the nails down, I thought the Niners were going to go score and win the game. Yeah. They just couldn't get off the field.
And even after that sequence that we just laid out, Justin Jefferson gets hurt. It's right after that Aaron Jones, the Fred Warner play happens at the goal line. That was the end of the third. And I thought on that play, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. Like, with a team as good as San Francisco, you feel like the momentum switch is coming. Like, the Ravens and Raiders, the Raiders hung around, but it felt like the Ravens were in control. And when they went up two scores, it was kind of like, all right, the Raiders did what they could. Mm-hmm. But this is what we were worried about. Like, this is not that different than what we saw last week against the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was that wrong. And we'll get to that in a minute. And credit Gardner Minshew for that. But it felt like there were shifts where it's like, okay, the 49ers are comfortable now.
Right.
They can do this. They can put them away. And that just wound up not being what happened. I thought Sam Darnold made a lot of great plays. And I don't want to dismiss, like, Justin Jefferson was that dude yesterday prior to the injury. Sam Darnold made a lot of big throws. He made a lot of tight throws. He hit his receivers in tough windows after Justin Jefferson went out.
Yep.
And again, it's what you were just saying a second ago, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing this. It doesn't make for the hottest take radio or television, but sometimes you just got to credit the team, the underdog case, and that was the Minnesota Vikings. And they did a hell of a job. And Sam Darnold and this squad, I think, will be really interesting to watch moving forward.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what plays out with these guys, because they look like they're a well-coached team. And you've got this situation now with Sam Darnold. Maybe he's found a home. Maybe he's found a system that works. And if Justin Jefferson can come back, be healthy, the way Brian Flores in these first two games has had that defense ready to play, they might. I thought they were going to be a bottom five team in the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it would have been that way if McCarthy was there, because there was a learning curve for him as a rookie.
Yeah.
But Sam Darnold, a veteran who can get in there and do his job, maybe it was a bit of a blessing in disguise for their record
could
this
be.
Year.
Yeah,
and,
could be.
Yeah, I just watched that game, and I thought, this isn't a terrible team. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs or where they'll end up, but I watched that game saying, no, they're not a bad team. That's a solid team that if you don't come ready to play, if you don't execute, they can get you. And that's what happened yesterday.
It is. And the 49ers will have to put this behind them and move forward. And it looks like, and we'll talk more about this as the day progresses, because I want to make sure we we give Baltimore and Las Vegas, specifically Las Vegas, their time to shine here. But it appears that, you know, they're going to have to move forward. They're going to have to prepare for Los Angeles now, and they're going to be doing it without Christian McCaffrey, who, as Jesse Tapia reported on Saturday, was in fact moved to IR on Jesse reported that on Friday. Christian McCaffrey was in fact moved to IR on Saturday.
Bum ass chef didn't even credit, man.
Yeah. Whack. And Kyle acknowledged last night he doesn't really know when he's going to be back. Mm-hmm. It certainly didn't sound like he's going to be back in 4 weeks. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network said they could be looking at 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Either way, they are going to be without Christian McCaffrey for a while. Loss to the Vikings aside, I mean, we can talk about playmaking. We could talk about big playability. We could do all of that. Jordan Mason has been fantastic the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You can hypothetical this situation to death if you want to, but it's going to be really tough to look at what he's done the last 2 weeks and go, oh, well, if Christian McCaffrey would be here, it's different. Christian McCaffrey is a playmaker of an entirely different level. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting yesterday's loss on the fact that Christian McCaffrey wasn't there.
No.
But
no, I don't think so either.
And the 49ers can't do that either. The 49ers aren't doing that. They won't do that. But they can't do that because, as Kyle said, they're going to be playing without Christian McCaffrey moving forward.
And another thing that we'll talk about throughout the week, this is a big game on Sunday.
It is.
It's a big game on Sunday for the 49ers.
Absolutely.
You want to get this win on Sunday, number one, to try to get things back on track. And then you want to do what you can to – you're not going to completely bury the Rams, but you can put them in.
Put some dirt on them.
Yeah, man, at 0-3, that's big. And I'm going to say it right now, I'm going to say it all week, you are going to get the best Rams team you could possibly get on Sunday. They're going to be ready to play. Sean McVay's going to have them ready to go. This is not a – I don't care who's out, Puka, Cooper Kupp, whatever. They're going to be ready to go. And it's going to be a tough game on Sunday. It's going to be a tough game. We'll talk about it throughout the week, though.
We will, but what we're going to do when we get back is we're going to talk about the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders.
And that victory that they had, that comeback they had in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to give some guys credit who I thought it might happen once or twice this year. Didn't think it was going to happen this week, though. We'll talk about it. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Phone lines are open for you. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Big thanks to our friends over at Sky River Casino, 32 Brew Street. A great place to catch the games on Sunday because you don't have to worry about whether YouTube's multi-view works or not. There's 70 screens in there. Games all over the place. You'll get to see it all. Unlike my stupid ass who was stuck watching the Cowboys lose by 1,000 because I couldn't figure out a way to get the Raiders, 49ers, and the Red Zone on multi-view all at once.
Two things. Number one, and it shouldn't be an issue anymore because didn't DirecTV and Disney reach a deal over
the
weekend?
They did. They reached a deal prior to Saturday's kickoffs.
So good for them. Don't concern me, but good for them. And
congratulations to the 7 people that still have DirecTV.
And shout out to our girl, Carrie. I saw her on Saturday at the Sac State game. Stingers up. Big time win over Nickel State. Smacked them up real quick. But yeah, man, that's our girl. She does a phenomenal job over there at Sky River Casino.
Yes, indeed. Sky River is going up. Mm-hmm. That's all we could say. Sky River is going up. As is Raider Nation, man. What a cool video to see this morning. I don't know if it dropped last night. I saw it this morning. The Antonio Pierce, Telesco moment in the tunnel on the way back to the locker room, man. You could see the excitement just pouring out of AP in that one as the Raiders down by 10 with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
I thought it was over.
Pull out a victory against the Baltimore Ravens at home on the strength of Gardner Minshew?
Come on, you got to say his name. Say his name. He did it.
Well, it sure as hell wasn't because of their run game. So salute to Gardner Minshew.
Hey, he made some throws in this game, too.
He did. He did. Max Crosby. What those guys did in the fourth quarter, man, what a what a great win. There's a, you know, an alternate side to break down, and that's the Baltimore side, because this is, I think this is their, SVP had it as their third blown lead at home of 10 plus points in the fourth quarter since the start of 2022.
That can't happen. That can't happen.
That is a Kings 20-point lead level stat right there.
Oh, Ramsey, shout out to Ramsey and the Matthews Masters Chatty House. 11th fourth quarter lead of 7-plus points in the last five seasons that have been blown leads by the Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
That's not good, no, Mr. Harbaugh.
It's not.
Second best Harbaugh coach in the NFL right now.
Well, I guess you can't deny that. I know Harbaugh's never been. I know John Harbaugh's never been suspended for anything.
Well, yeah, players out there juicing in the Super Bowl allegedly.
Well, he's a beloved figure, sir, and believe me, that's the tamest of that individual Super Bowl activities. Gardner Minshew, 30 of 38 in this game, 276 yards. One touchdown, one interception. Hello, Davante Adams.
Bang.
110 yards, 12 targets, 9 receptions for Davante. And boy, if there's one takeaway, one like season-long takeaway, Brock Bowers is everything that they said he was when he was drafted.
He's the truth. He is the truth.
He is a Kittle-level playmaker. He's a Gronk-level playmaker. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a big-time player at his position. And to be able to do it in Baltimore, against Baltimore, in that moment downtown, I thought Brock Bowers was extraordinary yesterday.
He was, man. He was. He is a game-changer.
That's what it feels
like. He is a playmaker.
Teach him how to run the ball then, because...
But that's kind of what we talked about that was missing in week one. And I don't know what percentage Brock Bowers is now. But going into that game, even though he played, it's like, all right, well, he's not 100%. Maybe he was feeling a little better in this week two game. And he showed why, like, if you have him healthy, that's one of your weapons.
Yeah.
That's one of your weapons. And you don't have enough on the roster to not have a guy like Brock there and think everything's going to be smooth sailing. And him and Devontae, I mean, that pitch and catch, you know, in the fourth quarter where he toe tapped and Minshew put it right there where, like, he couldn't walk it up any better. You couldn't toe tap any better if you were Davante Adams. That was some big time play, man. That was big time. Good for AP,
yeah,
and that Raiders team,
yeah,
and not giving up, not continuing to fight, continuing to push. Big time sack by Max Crosby, late in that game against Lamar Jackson.
He demoralized that offense. Yeah. He almost single handedly demoralized that offense.
Yeah, he's a game changer. Did you think that
Max Crosby sacked Lamar Jackson?
Well,
damn,
he was hyped up.
He was. Sometimes you just got to let the silence talk.
But did you think that Lamar gave the ball away too easily on that last play? Because I haven't seen the all 22. But they were like, yeah, one man to juke, and he probably could have got in. I can't tell, though. I feel like there was another safety back behind there, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, the all 22, is it available now? I think it's normally 12.
I think they do it on Sundays now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, that's an upgrade. We can pull it up and look at it. That wasn't my impression. I assumed he did reckon, okay. But I thought they might have had a plan. You know what I mean? If I get some yards, this is how we operate. And that is especially with how fast Lamar is, that's a quick adjustment that everybody has to make when they're trying to do different things. Cause clearly that wasn't the play design.
Right.
I'd be curious. That wasn't my first thought though.
Yeah. I just, and like I said, I couldn't say, it looked like there was somebody else in the maybe towards the goal line where it wasn't just one guy to beat, mm-hmm. and then you can get in there. But yeah, that's what some people were saying. I'll ask you, John Poles, in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, says once again, 98, talking about Max Crosby, is the best D end in football. Do you agree with that?
I don't disagree with it enough to argue with him.
Well, I disagree, but he's the truth though. Like I don't want, it's not a knock.
Like you can clearly say he's not.
Yeah, he's not better than T.J. Watt. I don't think he's better than Myles Garrett. I don't think he's better than Micah Parsons. I don't think he's better than Nick Bosa. But he's when we talk about top five in the game, like yeah, he's that. He's that. Max Crosby's the truth.
Hmm. Okay.
And even if you want to say he's better than Bosa, that's
like
why.
Again, I'm
TJ
not gonna...
TJ Watt is that dude right now. TJ Watt is a like he's the top right now. He's got the belt when you talk about line guys, pass rushers, creating havoc.
Over Cleveland?
Today I would do that.
Okay.
Today I would say that. And it much like any other it can change. You know what I mean? It can change throughout the season, but T.J. Watt has been.
I think that's how I feel about Miles. The way you feel about T.J. is how I feel about Miles.
I'm not going to. That's what I'm going to argue with.
It's a one, whether you like this analogy or not, this is a one, a 1A, a 1B, and a potentially a 1C conversation.
I think
all of these guys are the absolute best at their position.
Yeah, those five are just. Those five, to me, are the equivalent of Giannis, Jokic, and Joel Embiid.
Sure. Yeah.
Like what we even talking about? Like those them dudes, them three in the NBA separate themselves from everybody else. And I feel like these five, when you talk about pass rushers and creating havoc, I think they separate themselves from everybody else right now. Max is the truth. I'm a fan of his.
Either
on the field.
Oh wow. No, good for you. Good for you. Big Dana White guy too, aren't you? That's cool.
Not at all.
Wild times.
Not at all.
You got any? Well, wait till Kenny Caraway's endorsement drops. Boy, that'll be a wild. That'll be a wild time.
Not at all. We're not from the same culture. I'm from another culture.
I guess so. But that's a hell of a football player right there. And that's also, you know, Max Crosby, it feels like he spearheaded that whole thing. But the defense played really well. And this is, you know, there's a couple of interesting things that come out of that win against Baltimore. This is a extremely high quality win. Like if this was the BCS, they'd be hold like this. This is one. This goes in the books. If this hell doesn't even have to be the BCS. If this was the College Football Playoff Committee, they look at this quality of win for the Raiders is a really really high quality of win, and it makes the loss against Los Angeles look a little. I think it's going to look a little different for some. My biggest frustration last week was the Raiders played bad. I thought the Chargers were awful, and I still thought the Raiders... Yeah, week one, I'm sorry. I thought the Raiders were in a really good position to win that game. And losing it, I thought, was tough. Like, you had a chance in your division to get that one. But you come out here and you respond this way, on the road, in the morning, in Baltimore. All right, cool. Now come a little bit of expectations. Not 49er-level expectations, not Kansas City Chiefs expectations, but you have a dumpster fire. Walking into your home opener next year.
Man.
Burn that bitch to the ground. They're terrible.
Awful.
And they're quickly becoming an organization that I can't stand. You got to take care of business next week. You got Andy Dalton getting off the couch with a stupid look on his face, going to play quarterback in the year 2024. It's 2024 and Andy Dalton is starting a football game next week. Dear Antonio Pierce, I'm begging you, I would like to be an honorary member of Raider Nation. Beat his ass.
I think they will.
And that's the thing, though. Now you have to. Like, you just beat Baltimore. You're coming home for the first time this year, by the way. You opened up on the road.
Yep.
You need to beat Carolina.
You're coming home for the first time this year. And one of the things that I always talk about, and I'm not the only one, but like how Raider home games get infiltrated by opposing fans. This may be the one game that don't happen. Mm. It's going to be 90% Raider Nation in there. And come on, man, get that win, man. Send them home happy with that one. I think they will. I think this was a at least for this upcoming game, that game is something you can build on right there, the way they played.
Absolutely.
And I think they will build on that, beat down Carolina at home, and go to 2-1. And that's a hell of a way to start the season right there. That's a hell of a way to start the season.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's where the Raiders are right now. Again, credit to Gardner Minshew. They have a lot to figure out in their run game. They survived Baltimore. I don't think it's realistic to think they can survive the season with a running game like we saw last week, or like we saw yesterday, or like we've seen this season.
Yeah.
Like that's not going to work.
Yeah, they've got to figure that out.
Especially with Gardner Minshew as your quarterback.
Right. You've got to be able to rely on the run game. And I know Coach AP understands that and probably feels the same way. They've got to unlock that. You know what I mean? Because Gardner Minshew, who we both said can win you some games every now and then, that's contingent.
And that's
on
what
fact.
He did, by the way.
He did.
He won game for the Raiders.
He made the throws. He made the plays necessary to be able to pull that win out. But you gotta help him out. You can't put it all on his right arm and, you know, all on his shoulders to get you, you know, his part of the of 4 or 5 wins that he's gonna get you. Right? You gotta help him out. You gotta give him a running game. Defense is always gonna be there, but you gotta be able to have that play action game going, and people respect the play action because of the running game. So they've got to get that figured out. And to be honest with you, no better time to get it figured out than Carolina coming to town.
Yeah, absolutely.